There are several tree species that can be tapped, but it's the sugar maple that is most utilized. Mike Farrell notes that even within the maple genus, there's additional and huge opportunities to harvest sap.
With maple syrup, it's produced mostly from sugar maple, but increasingly a lot more trees being tapped are red maples because they're more dominant than sugar maple. There's more red maples here in the eastern U.S. than there are sugar maples. They're not quite as good of sap producers as sugar maple. That's why sugar maple got its name, because it produces the most sap and the sweetest sap. But red maples are certainly good producers of sap. Any species of maple will produce sap in the spring. And so you can make lots of different types of maple syrup. They all taste pretty much the same. Now, with the other species that you can tap, the birch and the walnut, those are far less common. We don't have as many of the trees, and not many people are producing syrup from those trees. I tried to include as much information about them in this book because there's just not a lot out there, and yet there's a lot of interest among maple syrup producers to expand their output with other tree syrups. So I see a great potential with those, and we've been producing them for the last few years here at Lake Placid, and the market reaction has been great, especially with the walnut syrup. Birch syrup is more of a cooking type of syrup that appeals to high-end chefs and as a novelty, unique gift item, because it's just different and much different flavor. When you just try birch syrup just by itself, a lot of people aren't enamored with the taste. It's very powerful. It's a very strong flavor, like a fruity molasses. When you cook with it, it adds that extra zest, that extra flavor compound that a lot of chefs really love. And so that's why you've seen this big expansion in the birch syrup industry, is marketing to chefs and people who want to cook with it. I've had some delicious food that was made with birch syrup. It really adds to it. The walnut syrup has a very similar flavor to maple, and we combine it with maple to get a maple walnut syrup, which, you know, is delicious and has just a little bit of an extra nutty flavor to it, and people love it.
Now, if people are tapping those other types of trees, I take it the methodology of making the syrup is the same.
It's pretty much the same, but there's always differences. With birch syrup, the sugar content is much different than maple sap. First of all, it has a lot less sugar in the sap for birch trees, and the sugar is mostly glucose and fructose, which will caramelize at a lower temperature. And that's why, first of all, you need to boil it longer because it's got a lower sugar content to begin with. And then it just develops that more and more of a deep, robust flavor because it's under high heat with that glucose and fructose caramelizing. So people might want to try to simmer it. I advocate using reverse osmosis to remove most of the water out of the sap before you boil it. That's what most maple syrup is produced with, reverse osmosis now. And you can use that same technology to make processing the birch sap in the syrup much easier.
A lot of the book talks about ways to increase production. As a matter of fact, I think it's chapter 8 that is dedicated on how to expand the maple business, maple markets. You really see a huge potential for maple production and maple expansion in the Northeast and potentially across the U.S., don't you?
Oh, sure. And in that chapter 8 is where I advocate expanding production through collaboration with others. So sugar makers may have tapped all the maple trees on their own property, but by working with other neighboring landowners through either leasing their wood, pay them an annual fee to have the rights to tap their trees, or they want to collect the sap and then you buy the sap from that person and process it in the syrup in kind of a cooperative manner. Those are really good strategies to be able to expand production in an economically viable and environmentally friendly manner. It's really promising. It makes a lot of sense. And it's not a new idea either.
It's not just the marketing of the syrup that you talk about in the book. Marketing the sap itself.
Well, sugar makers themselves drink a lot of the sap. They just haven't been out marketing it as a beverage to the rest of society. So it's commonplace. You know, you're out collecting sap, you're working hard, and of course, you get thirsty, and best drink in the world is right there in front of you, the maple sap. So whereas we normally boil about 40 gallons of it down to get 1 gallon syrup, yes, drinking it fresh from the trees right as is another great option. You have to pasteurize the sap and preserve it for long-term storage. That's one of the challenges, because sap can spoil pretty quickly. But if you're able to do that and get it to the marketplace, there's a great demand for it. The market for these types of enhanced waters is growing every year. It's a great opportunity, and I'm a big sap drinker myself, both maple sap and birch sap. And I wanted to highlight the opportunities for other sugar makers to explore whether or not selling the sap makes sense for them. I think it's a winning proposition, and just a matter of going about it in a way that makes sense for your operation.
Farrell's book, The Sugar Maker's Companion, An Integrated Approach to Producing Syrup from Maple, Birch, and Walnut Trees, is published by Chelsea Green Publishing in White River Junction, Vermont. I'm Pat Brathley, WAMC News.